The bulletin title for the message today is called Power, but let's expound on that. What is power? Well, power is a couple of different things. Power is, in one term definition, it is like dunamis. In the Greek, it's dynamite, so it's explosive. But then in another term, it's authority. Power is authority. You know, a police officer can, you know, if I went out and I stood in the middle of a street and I started flagging cars down, they're not going to pay attention to me. They're just going to try to not hit me if they're nice. But if a police officer goes out, he's got authority. And he starts waving you by to go around. And you're going to go around, right? Because he's got authority. So there's two different kinds of power, really. There's the explosive, miracle-working, or dunamis power of God. But then there's the authority power of God. And I think when we talk about power, we're looking at, and we've talked about this, back in the book of Genesis, God created everything through his power and authority. He created by his word. He spoke, and things came into existence. And so we're going to start today, we're going to start in Isaiah 55. I got to tell you, Isaiah 55 is probably becoming one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. When I was first a believer and I was at church and they were having one of these Holy Ghost, Holy Roller meetings and people were rolling on the floor and laughing and getting filled with the Holy Ghost and it was fun and it was amazing. And there was this group over here and, you know, I'm all for, I would rather have a move of God than nothing. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it's like when you're starting your car, you need jumper cables. You need a little bit of extra outside help. So there are some people, and they're kind of, you know, in my personal estimation, they were kind of getting in the flesh. That's just was my personal, my thought. They were getting in the flesh. And they were over here going, ho! Ho! And, right? I know, that was my thought too. I'm like, okay, God. But I'm like, I knew enough that I wasn't going to sit in judgment on them. And I said, okay, God, I don't know what that means. Is this even scriptural, what they're doing? Because growing up, we spent a lot of time in the children's church and felt boards. And, you know, Christianity was a felt board, if you will. It wasn't a way of life so much for my own personal experience. And so now as I come back to the Lord, I was going to stick with the Bible. Well, because everybody says it's his written word. It's his word. So if it's his word, then we can trust it. We can depend on it because it's his word. And he says he's not a man that he should lie. So if he's not a man that he should lie, then we ought to be able to depend on his word. So I told the Lord, I said, I don't know about all this hoeing over there. You know what I'm saying? You know, like not with a hoe, but, you know, the people are going, ho! So he says to me, and see, if you're a believer and you've been born again, then the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. So if the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, then you should be able to hear him, right? Right. I mean, it's like if your wife is sitting next to you and she nudges you and she says, I want you to do this. You go, okay. Right? Because you're a husband. Your wife says do this. You're like, you may not like it, and you may tell your wife, I don't want to do that. But then you do it anyway. That's right, that's authority. I could go so many places right now on that. But I'm going to stick. You've all seen My Big Fat Greek Wedding, right? The wife is the neck that turns the head, right? Anyway, so staying the course, I said, Lord, I don't understand that. I mean, if that's you, I want to know, and if it's not, I want to know too. And so I'm there, and I'm just quiet, and he says, Isaiah 55. I'm like, okay. So I don't know what translation of the Bible you have, but I have the New King James. Jesus spoke in the King James. No, he didn't. He spoke Aramaic and Hebrew. But here, Isaiah 55 says, ho! Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And I thought, well, there you go. I asked the Lord, and he showed me. These people were there, and they were hungry. They were thirsty for God. And they tapped into the same Spirit of God that lives on the inside of all of us that are born again. When you're born again, I mean, you're tapped into the presence of God, the Creator. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, think about that. That when you get born again, the Creator who created everything comes to live on the inside of you. And it would behoove us to let Him do a little of the directing on our lives. Because maybe, perhaps, He has a better perspective on it, right? You know, can I tell you what the Lord told me? Because there's all this stuff going on with Black Lives Matter and all lives matter and all this other stuff going on. You know what he told me? He said, if you believe the Bible, Adam and Eve are everybody's parents. So no matter what shade of skin you have, they're your brother or sister. Doesn't matter. Everything else. I mean, if you don't believe the Bible, then you don't have that simple basic information. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all brothers and sisters. We're all part of the same family. I mean, you look within just Kathy's family, because her mom is Mexican and her dad is this tall white gringo guy, and one of her brothers has dark skin and dark hair, and she running around and she, you know, little white girl, skinny little white girl, she'd get out in the sun and her hair would turn blonde. And her mother was afraid to take them to the store because she thought people would think that she stole them. It's a true story. It's a true story. You know? Anyway, going back to this, let's look a little bit further down. Because here's one of those things, you know, people say, someone could say, well, how can you know what God would say? How can you know what God would do? How can you know? You can't know. And then somebody else who's really smart is going to say, well, you know, the Bible says His ways are higher than our ways. They are. But let's look at that. Isaiah 55, verse 8. Here's God. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. Well, there you have it. Let's just stop there. No, let's keep going. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, this is key, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Here we go. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Hallelujah. So, yes, God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We talked about this a while back. We talked about silly string. Remember all those silly thoughts that you have, and the thoughts, and what does God say to do with those? He says to cast them down in obedience to the word. Cast them down in obedience to the word. So you have a thought, maybe growing up, you were told that you were never going to amount to anything. I was never taught that. But some people have been taught that. I mean, there are youth in our youth group that come from broken homes, and their example are drug-addicted, alcohol-addicted parents who just let them go and do whatever. And that's the kind of example that they've had. They've had parents tell them, you're worthless. You can't get good grades. Now listen, you know, I had trouble in school, but you know what my dad always told me? You're going to have to figure it out. You're going to have to try. You know, I tell my kids, I tell Faith this all the time. She started at Sierra Ridge. She was failing. She'd spent all of fifth year face down after having two eye surgeries. She was started sixth grade. She was failing. They thought about putting her back into fifth grade. And we told her, you can do it. You can do anything you set your mind to. But you're going to have to start working for it. It's the same concept with our thoughts and our ways. See, our thoughts and our ways are ingrained in us because we live in this sin-filled earth. We live in this earth where everything around us is naturally thought and taught. We live in a realm where whatever you think must be okay. You know, if you think that you're something that you're not, then it must be okay because you think you are. Right? I mean, that's the way that society is going. And for a long time, I thought of myself a certain way. I thought of myself as addicted to drugs. I thought of myself as just without purpose in my life. But then one day, God got a hold of me, and He changed that. And because I had enough forethought and foresight, I began to look to this instead. And I began to try to see myself. I remember when I was in Teen Challenge. And that's a drug and alcohol rehabilitation program. It's an in-house program that lasts for a year. It's Bible-centered, Christ-centric. And I was in there. And one night, I woke up three times. Now, I didn't have a foul mouth, really. But my problem wasn't foul mouth. Three times I woke up. And God told me to go to a certain scripture, Ephesians 4, 29 through 31. And it talks about the mouth. Let no corrupt thing proceed out of your mouth. Well, let's take a look at that right now. Remember, we're talking about power. And this power that we're talking about right now is the power to change your life. This power can change who you are, okay? Listen, it changed who I was. Ephesians 4:29. And three times I woke up in one night, and he said this scripture to me. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Listen, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away with you with all malice. And verse 32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So listen, don't be bitter. God's ways are don't be bitter. God's ways are don't be wrathful. Don't be full of anger and clamor and evil speaking. His ways are higher. Here, we can sit down and we can watch certain television programs and I've caught, some of these, just little bits, and that, these reality TV programs. Listen, real life isn't like that. And if it is, you need to find a different real life. Seriously. I mean, they get these people talking so bad about each other. I mean, it's just horrible. That's lower natural way of thinking. Remember, we talked about Paul and the thorn in the flesh. All right? The reason it was given to him, he said, was because the thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan, that's what the Bible says, it was a messenger of Satan, was given to him to keep him from excelling above the normal status of man. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. As soon as you start excelling above the normal status of man, you're going to have trial and tribulation. You're going to be put through the press, right, Deb? You're going to be put through the press. As soon as you start stepping out and doing something that God's put in your heart or put in your path to do, things are going to happen. It's not God. God wants you to excel. God wants you to change your way of thinking. God wants us to change our way of doing and acting and being. Why? Because His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Well, I can't do that, Pastor. Yes, you can. I'm living proof. Every single one of us, every person who ever heard that Jesus loved them and died for them and accepted them and received Him as their Lord and Savior, is starting to excel above the normal status of man.
That's right.
And from that point on, the devil is concerned about you.
Right.
He's trying to stop you.
Right.
He's going to send messengers across your path to stop you. He's going to cause trouble. Listen, Paul was whipped and stoned and beaten and left for dead. But Paul is like the Energizer Bunny, man. I mean, every time he just gets back up and keeps on going.
Amen.
Why? Because he's getting in with God, whose ways are higher and thoughts are higher. It's so important. And it's so doable. If what we'll do, if we'll just get into this, and we'll find out what he thinks of us. Listen, I was having a conversation with someone who was just absolutely convinced that we're still sinners. No! He himself became sin, that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ. I am not a sinner anymore. If you believe the Bible, if you believe God, if you believe that this is his word and he wrote it, then you'll believe I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not a sinner. I was a sinner and I was saved by grace. I was a sinner. I was lost in sin, bound in sin. Every kind of, man, I'm telling you what, the only thing I didn't do was shoot up because I didn't like needles and I still don't. I know you don't, honey. God tells us his ways are higher, and then he describes what his ways are. Isn't that interesting? Why do you think he would do that? Right? Because he wants us to come up to his level. Listen, God created them, man and woman, and he put them in the garden, and then he came and he fellowshipped with them. Now, I don't know about you. I love children. Little ones are so cute. But there's a limit on how much you can interact in fellowship with them. You can't fellowship with a five-year-old the way you can with someone older, like me. Right? I mean, you can have fun with them. You can talk to them. You can play games with them. But at a certain point, if they're not coming up to the same status... See, let me say this again, too. Every person who gets the Spirit of God on the inside of them is a child of God. It doesn't matter how old you are. Every person who's been sealed with the Spirit of God can have that same experience. And just because you've been saved for 20 years doesn't mean you're mature. And just because you got saved at the age of 5 and you're 7 doesn't mean you're immature in the things of God. What matters is what you've put into it. What matters is what we put into us through the Word and through His Spirit. Amen? Listen, this is an interesting thing. You know, God is so interesting. Here we think in limited terms. Okay? We think last year, this year, next year. What'll the elections hold? What'll the next 4 years be like? I'm retiring at such and such an age. And we think linearly. In a line, in a straight line. I was born here. I graduated from high school here. I got married here. But God doesn't think that way. Have you ever read a class, Ecclesiastes 3? To everything, there's a time and there's a season. Right? There's seasons. Listen, even if we just look naturally speaking, we're in summer right now. We're headed for fall. Then comes winter finally. And it won't be quite so hot. And, yeah, we have to have the snow plows, and, you know, but that's fine, too. But if you look at nature, nature isn't linear. It's cyclical. I almost couldn't get that word out. It's cyclical. God is like that, too. He doesn't look at you. He doesn't look at me as how we were before we came to him. He looks at us as how we are and how the growth is going, right? Every week, there's a Sabbath, every 7 days. Every 7 years, there's a Shemitah, which is a seven-year, it's a sabbatical year. Every seven of sevens is a Jubilee, another sabbatical. See, God is working. He's working in cycles. Everything for him, for us, he's working it around. He's working it around. He's working it around. And he's trying to bring us someplace. And if we'll let him, he's trying to bring us to the place where he is. Listen, it's great. I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. Praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. And one thing I'd like to be is closer to heaven when that time comes. I'd like to be closer in my relationship with God. I mean, when you get married, you kind of know somebody. And then you find out if they do the toilet paper front or back, if they squeeze the toothpaste from the middle or roll from the bottom, right? When they're done with the towel, do they throw it on the floor or do they hang it up? I mean, and these are things, and we're growing and learning with each other, right? And we're walking in love with each other. And so you get two different kinds of toothpaste, and you help each other out. If the towel's on the floor, you pick it up. You work with each other. You're growing, right? We're going. It's the same way with God. God wants us to continue to move up in Him. Listen, we're told multiple times through the New Testament, put off the old man and put on the new man that is created in the image of Christ. That we're supposed to be going from glory to glory, image to image, and faith to faith. Amen. See, it's great to get saved. I love the fact that I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. But more importantly, I love the fact that someone made that possible for me. What I want to do, I'm in love with Him. I want to be closer to Him. I want to understand Him. And if He tells me that I can understand His ways and I can understand His thoughts, and then He tells me, listen, you know, it's like some time ago I talked about Mark chapter 4, the sower sows the word. And I said, well, how many people have you been in church and you heard the pastor read through that passage and then he'd stop and close the book and just start talking about it and never get to what Jesus said about it? Do you remember that? Maybe. The sower sows the word. That's what Jesus said. It's the same thing here in Isaiah 55. God said, my word doesn't return void, but it accomplishes the thing that I set it out for. So what do you think will happen if you speak God's word? If you speak His word concerning a situation, what do you think will happen? It's going to happen. It's not going to return. He said His word does not return void. So my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please and will prosper in what I send it to do. I mean, Jesus came from God, right? I mean, right there in Genesis chapter 3, God said, I'm going to send one who's going to bruise your head and he's going to destroy you. And he's going to get back my children. He's going to get back my creation. Did he do it? He did. He sent Jesus. I need a drink of water. He sent Jesus. Did Jesus do what he came to accomplish to do? Who is the Word? Jesus is the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And the Word came and He dwelt among us. The Word of God is sharp and active, powerful, dividing asunder between bone and marrow, joint and sinew. He's alive. He is the Word. If we can get Him and we can get His words and we can start thinking His thoughts, listen, it is entirely possible to think His thoughts. Someone could say, well, you can't know what God would think. Yes, I can. And so can you if you will open up your Bible. And you can know what He thinks. And you can know what He says about a situation. Maybe, you know, this whole, well, what should I wear today? Well, is He concerned about that? If it's, I don't know, does it concern you? He's touched with the feelings of the things that concern us, right? Maybe so. Sometimes I don't know what to wear, and I say, okay, God, I don't know what to wear. And then I see myself wearing something, like, oh, okay, that'll work. Come on, God lives on the inside of us, right? Jesus said He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities or our weaknesses. We don't know what to do. We ask Him, He tells us. Listen, there's some things that started happening after I became pastor here. I didn't know what to do. Who did I go to? I went to Jesus. I went to the Word. Listen, not every conversation you're going to have with somebody is lovely and pleasant and kind. Because not everybody's lovely, pleasant, and kind. Some conversations are going to be just demonic. I mean, just, you know, we can say that. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. That's why we get saved. Do you want to go to hell? I don't want to. I mean, come on. I mean, the ultimate joy in hell is that you get to burn in a lake of fire for eternity. Whoopee! No, that's not fun. I'd rather go out and swim in the ice-cold waters of Jenkinson Lake. Praise the Lord. Oh, look at that. Proverbs 18:21 says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Well, what does that mean? You're going to eat what you're saying. You're going to experience it. You're going to have it. I mean, our good friends, I mean, he'd say, well, I'm going to die early. 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 He just always knew he was going to die early. Well, you know what he did? He died early. He had a massive heart attack and just died. Yeah, exactly. He said, I'm going to die. It wasn't just early, but I'm going to die when I'm 50. And that's when he died. He died when he was 50. He knew he was going to die. He didn't have any symptoms. He hadn't been to a doctor that told him he was going to die. He just knew he was going to die at 50. Just knew it. Just went around saying it all the time. Took his wife out for a romantic dinner, came home and died. Isn't that romantic? Don't you think she'd rather have him around? Yeah. Well, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Salvation, Romans 10:17. I'm telling you, this is power. You have power over your life. You have power to control your destiny. God has given us power to control our destiny. He did that when he created us in his image. Romans 10. Romans 10, 17. Well. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we go up to verse 8, Romans 10, 8. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, how did you get saved? You heard what Jesus had done, right? You believed it in your heart. It touched you. You knew that what you were hearing was true, right? And then what did you do? You said, Jesus, I believe that you're Lord and Savior. I believe that you died for me. And in that moment, when you made that confession, you were saved. You were born again. The greatest miracle that happens for any person, any individual, is the work of salvation. Getting saved, getting born again. And it comes through hearing the word. Jesus is the word. God sent his word. Jesus is the word. You believed what he did for you. And then you confessed it. God said, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Well, right there, that was the first act of getting into his ways and to getting into his thoughts. You believed what he said. You believed what he did. And you lined up with him. And you did it. And you got saved. You got born again. March 29th, 1996, I came back to the Lord. I remember it. I remember the first time I got saved. See, I got saved when I was a child. It was August 4th, 1974. I had it written in a Bible. My mom was the Sunday school teacher. She led me to the Lord in a Sunday school class. Isn't that beautiful? My mom did. I remember that experience. I got away from the Lord. But the date I hold on to is March 29th, 1996, when I came back to him as an adult, understanding what I was doing, understanding what it meant, understanding that there was no place else for me to go. I was on my way to hell. I was divorcing myself from God through everything I did. But I came back to him. And like a loving father, he accepted me, just like that prodigal son. Man, I'm telling you, as soon as he got to the end of the road, isn't that beautiful? And the father sees him at the end of the road, and he comes running out to meet him. Listen, God loves us. God loves you. And he's waiting for every single one of us. He wants every single person to come to him. And he's opened the way to do it. And it's just the opening. It's just the doorway. It's just getting in through that door. Jesus said he is the door. And as soon as he opens that door and we come through, man, I'm telling you what, you're in. You're in. He loves you. He's there to greet you on the other side. He's there waiting for us because he loves us. That's just the beginning of getting into his thoughts and his ways. And how did you do it? You believed it in your heart. You confessed it in your mouth when you heard, and you were saved. Everything else works the same way. Everything else with God, it's about believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth, and you'll be saved. We'll talk about saved another day. Saved is the Aramaic Greek word for the Hebrew shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken, everything in its place. Perfect healing, health, and wholeness. It starts in the spirit, and it works its way out. Amen?